Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I'm excited about the church plants. I was in Sepulpa most of the day yesterday and helping some guys hang some flex duct in the AC units and the whole church planting, church launching, the whole ideology mentality of that is just amazing. Just more churches, more seats, more souls. Let's affect as many people as we can. And really honestly, if you wonder how I lead or how, I guess how things factor through how I lead, it's the four priorities of my life are simply to win the lost. And if you're lost, man, we wanna win you to Jesus. Number two is to disciple them. Just get people stronger and healthier and happier and just loving God, training up emerging leaders. Every chance we can, we want new, fresh leaders to be taking over ministry and expanding ministry and doing things. And then the fourth thing is to launch churches. And it's pretty simple for me. God's plan for the salvation of mankind came as Jesus, but today it's the church. The church is the hope of the world. And what we've got to do is we've got to do this right. And I think to do it right, that's just kind of my message today. That to do it right, I believe the health of the church is determined by things like this capital campaign. It really is. It's that if you think about it, 2 years from now, the church will be 25 years old. I'm not gonna tell you how old I'm gonna be. It's a big one. But the church will be 25 years old. We'll have new, fresh sanctuaries. And the decor outside, people driving by, to make this an attractional place. We'll have planted two other churches other than Sepulpa, so there'll be five church launches that are going to be a part of our church. And for me, the churches aren't as big a deal as the teams, as the people that go with the people that plant those churches, and just the strong teams we'll have, the kids area. It's my heart. I'll be honest with you. Where the kids area becomes a destination, where people from the surrounding region of the country, man, they come for a long weekend at Guts just because our kids area draws them there. It's that attractional, just like a theme park would be, or a Silver Dollar City or Disneyland or something like that. We could produce something like that here. There's something. It's interesting. If you can go back to the screen up here that you had for building the legacy, there's something on there that I really want to point out, that there's nothing we can't accomplish as a church. That I really honestly, I need the other one that you had up earlier, but there's nothing we can't accomplish as a church, that we have to take on that kind of mindset. We really do. And it started with Paul, and one of my go-to references in the word is Romans 12, 1 and 2. That says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Everybody say reasonable service. Say it again. Okay, it's not that hard, okay? I mean, it isn't gonna, that nobody's lopping off your thumbs to get you to do this, all right? Which is your reasonable service. And then it goes to the next verse, and don't be conformed to this world. Every limit, everything in your life that's consternation in your heart is because of the confirming aspect that you've taken on with the world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Man, you think about that your life, if you looked at that, your life reflects good, acceptable, and perfect. That's the will of God. This is the will of God, for us to be transformed truly, listen, into the image of his son. You know, what's interesting for me is that in John, the third chapter, and this is, and before we go there, you could go there in your Bible, but there's an interesting deal amongst I think it's any gearhead. It's anybody that wants a faster, more horsepower, greater torque, all that stuff. That's music to your, that's your love language, isn't it? And but there's a machine, and there's probably a bigger name for it, but it's called a Dyna machine. And Harley guys and motorcycle car guys, they take their vehicle and they hook it up to one of these machines that electronically show how that engine's performing, the horsepower, the torque, the output, the fuel consumption, as much oxygen or air that it takes in, the whole thing. And I thought about that spiritually for us. And so kind of the working title of this message, and I don't know why I didn't pull the trigger, because it's probably a pretty catchy message, is a spiritual Dyna is what this service is going to be for you, where you're going to be able to hook up to that machine and to that electronic, and you're going to be able to find out how you're doing spiritually, how your output is, how your horsepower is, how you're, you know, and for me, if you're like me, and my vehicles, my Harley, they can be fast, but if I could make it a little faster, I mean, I'll go so far as to sit on a nail to get a little more horsepower, a little more oomph coming out of the hole. I mean, it might be a guy thing, but unless you're Danica Patrick or something, but you look at this, that our lives, I want my spiritual life to be like that too. I really do. And I think that it's important for us to be able to gauge that. I think it's important for us to be able to measure that it needs to be measurable. It needs to be quantifiable. And it's all, listen, and it's not just based upon church attendance or how much you give or how much you serve. I think there's easier, even more practical ways for us to be able to measure that in our lives. You know, Jesus in John, the third chapter, don't you love Jesus? I mean, really, honestly, do you love Jesus? I mean, it just, I love to say his name. But in the third chapter of John, there was an interesting dynamic. And I love this about Jesus. Jesus, you can write this in your notes. Jesus didn't play. He was about his father's business. You know, he wasn't worried about ruffling feathers or stepping on toes. I mean, that happened pretty regularly with him. But there was a man, his name was Nicodemus, and he was a teacher, a ruler of the Jews, okay, that comes to Jesus. And then the second verse of John 3, he came to Jesus at night, okay? You know why you would visit somebody in the darkness of night where nobody else could see it. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he says, I know that your teachers come from God. And here he's coming in, and he is at the highest level of rank in religious. Like everybody had to think that Nicodemus' life was right with God. Everybody had to think it. Nicodemus had to think it. Okay, he was a teacher of the Jews. He's a ruler of the Jews, and he comes to Jesus at night, and he said, "Man, I know you're a teacher sent from God, Rabbi." Because of everything that's happening, all the miracles, all the signs and wonders, you have to be from God. And in the third verse, Jesus looked at me and said, listen, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Meaning, you have no clue what you're talking about here. Unless you're born again. And then he goes farther, and he said, look, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, you must be born of water, which is repentance, and the spirit. Okay, for you to be able to even be in this conversation with me. He said, here you are, as educated and intelligent as you are, you don't even know where the wind comes from. I mean, here you are, you're looking at this, you can tell that you can feel the wind, you know whether it's weak or strong, you know what direction, but you don't know where it originated. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, that's as crass as he was. I mean, he was so direct. And Nicodemus is just like, hey, look, I'm just reaching out, bro. I mean, but Jesus, he said, listen, I know you're a teacher, I know who you are. I know the influence that you have. But what he said is, you must be born again. Now, here's what's interesting, and I wanna go back a long time, 36 years ago in my life. Okay, I'm in my early 20s, and here I was just living like hell. All right. It was I was a raging sinner and couldn't get enough of it. Really good sinner. Okay. And looking at it, and I had the world by the tail until I didn't. All right. And then I came to a place where it's like, okay, that's it. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. That's it. It's kind of, I was throwing in the towel. And so I go to church, I get saved. This guy, I said the Lord's Prayer, or excuse me, I said the salvation prayer. I confessed Jesus, Lord of my life. The pastor looked at me and said, you're a new creation. Look at me. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, somehow that registered in me. What I just said registered in me, okay? Literally, 90 seconds before that, I was an idiot sinner. Now he says I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are going to do. And it seeded in my heart. Somehow it registered. Somehow I was like, I was good with it somehow. But 90 seconds before that, it would have just went like every other godly thing would have at that time in my life, okay? So then, fast forward a week later, I'm back in church. And I'm thinking, and at this time, I went in the morning, and I went back that evening. And I remember I went back that evening, the week after I got saved, is because I stepped through the threshold of the front door of the church, and I thought, what the heck am I doing? I'm back at church. I don't know why. It's like, wait a minute, I was here this morning. Why would I be back here today, tonight? And I'm walking through the threshold of the church wondering why that I'm gonna do this, okay? Well, I'm leaning against the back wall of the church, and I was thinking, I don't fit here. This isn't working for me. I'm looking around. I got long hair and jeans and boots and a black T-shirt on. I was never a fashion guy, so I wear what I wore in the 70s, okay? So get over it. So but listen, I'm standing in the back, and the Lord spoke to me. As I'm talking myself out of it, I don't know if any of you guys ever had that issue where you were talking yourself out of church, talking yourself out of the whole concept, okay? And I was talking myself out of it and making an incredible case, okay, away from church. Because look around. It's church people. There's significant weirdness in church. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. We try to, like you guys that are weird here, we try to mask you, we try to camouflage you as much as we can, but it's still, feel me, there's significant. How many of you guys are sitting by somebody significantly weird right now? Okay, see, so the church is full of weird people, and you're like thinking, okay, and you didn't get to pick people. It's like I've got two brothers and a sister that are half-brothers and a sister, half-sister, and then I got two other half-sisters somewhere else. I didn't pick them. They just come into my life once in a while, and it's like, hi. Come on, we're family. Okay, how long are you staying? But that's kind of how church is. And so I'm looking around, and I'm talking myself out of it, and I'm thinking, there's no one here that has rough-out boots on. There's no one here wearing jeans. They're all wearing these leisure suits. They've got hairspray. There are men in this church that have hairspray. There's something. I took issue with that. So I'm standing by the back wall of the church talking myself out of it, thinking I don't fit here. I'm out. As I thought I'm out, God spoke to me. First time. Said, Shear, you can have the guts to serve me. Well, shoot. I've been a Christian a week. I wasn't even a sinner anymore. But he came at me because I wasn't transformed in my mind yet. And he came at me like he would have before I was a Christian. Or it's calling me out. He drew a line in the sand and said, well, how about step through over this line? It's hard for me not to. I'll just be real honest with you. I don't know. I'm not that guy where, yeah, I'm just going to walk away, okay? It's hard for me to do that. But now I'm better at it because I am transformed now into the image of his son. I am now growing in God. I'm going to explain that to you here in a minute. But I just decided that's it. I walked up to the front of the church like this. I stood there like this. I had my hands up. while the music's going on. I wasn't worshiping God. I was like, okay, God, I'll prove it to you. I can do this. Okay, there was no worship in it. There's no praise in it. I'm just standing with my hands up saying, how about this, God? How about this? Am I going to have the guts to serve you? How about this for guts, God? What you got now, huh? How about that? So I sat down and we finished the service. I go to the back of the church and I knew nothing. I had been a Christian 7 days. And I'm standing in the back of this little Assembly of God, frame Assembly of God church on the back aisle. And I was eavesdropping, listening to a conversation of some people that were talking beside me. And one guy said, oh no, here, let me show you. And he flipped through his Bible. Remember, you guys, Bibles used to be books, okay? So he has this book and he's flipping through his Bible and he said, no, look, it's right here. Everything you put your hand to will prosper. And I'm like 5 or 6 feet away from him. I'm looking at him and thinking, what did he just say? And the guy goes, where is that? And he said, look. And he said the chapter and verse, which meant nothing to me. Honestly, when I went to Bible school 6 weeks after being a Christian, they said, turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. And I'd sit there thinking, huh, could that be New or Old Testament? I know Mark, that's New Testament, okay? I know some of this other stuff, Genesis, the beginning, so that's Old Testament. And that name sounds old, so I'll go look in the Old Testament, then I have to look in the New. And I'm flipping through the Bible. And then I found out, let me tell you, a breakthrough in my life at that time, my first week in Bible school, is there was an index in the left side of my Bible, and I could look up the book, and I could be able to find it. So a week I'm a Christian. We go back. And here I am in this service where I'm like, okay, God, how about that? What do you got? I got the guts to serve you. I got my hands up. This music's horrible and these weird people. But look at me. How about this, God? What else you got? Go ahead. Just keep talking, God, because I'm here all day, all right? I'm not going anywhere. And then so I'm at the back of the church and the guy said, this guy talks to another guy. He says, everything you put your hand to will prosper. And I thought, huh, wow. And so I didn't walk over and say, could you tell me where that is? I walked around these pews to this outside aisle, and I went over and I got an offering envelope, and I had a pen, and I wrote down that everything I put my hand to will prosper, and I put a big question mark on it. Put it in my pocket, I left. I went home. I made a cold cut sandwich, it was bologna. And a little American cheese, some yellow mustard. I got a glass of tea, all right? And it was one sandwich. It was just like 2 inches of bologna, okay? So I sit down and I'm eating this sandwich. Okay, I'm a sandwich guy. Any other sandwich people in here? Okay, sandwich, okay? So I'm eating this sandwich. They're drinking the iced tea. And I get my Bible out. I start flipping through my Bible like this because it's a book at that time, 1979. I'm flipping through my Bible looking for that verse. I didn't know on the left side there was a table of contents. I didn't know on the right side of the Bible there was a thing called a concordance. And I could have looked up the word prosper in that concordance and it would have told me the times it was mentioned in the Bible. I didn't know that. So I'm just kind of flipping through the Bible, eating my bologna sandwich, drinking iced tea, and looking for that verse. And I remember thinking, God, where could it be? Okay, I'd been a Christian 1 week. I finished my sandwich. I finished the glass of iced tea. I'm sitting there flipping through my Bible and found it. I found that verse. I got that pen out. I underlined it. I circled it. I drew an arrow over to the margin. I wrote the date, I wrote a little note. I dog-eared that page of the Bible. I folded it over, I closed the Bible. Somehow it was an amazing breakthrough in my life. But now I go back to Jesus and Nicodemus. Here Nicodemus was a teacher, a ruler of the Jews, knew it all. In the world standards, his life was right with God. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say to him? You must be born again. You got to be born of the of water and the Spirit. You can't be born of the flesh anymore. Well, you know what? I knew how to live by the flesh. I was born of the flesh. I knew how to operate by the flesh. I knew how to cut the right corners and take the right steps and say the right things and know the right people. But now I'm in a new place in God's kingdom. And he said this, you must be born again to be able to see in the kingdom. So here I am. Here I am. A week as a Christian, I'm flipping through my Bible and I find that verse. You know why? I said, God, you got to help me. God, you got to show me. I was seeking God. God, and you know what? God was just showing me, look, you get into situations where you don't know what to do. You get into situations that feel tenuous. You get into situations that are sticky. You get into pickles. You get into situations that could become harmful. You just got to find me. Man, come to me. Man, get where I, and you know what? I'm telling you to this 36 years later, it's still what I do. It's like, okay, God, where are you? And I just have to find God. When I'm seeking God, I'm seeking God. I remember the first time that week I heard of the scripture that said, there's not a temptation known to man that God won't provide an avenue of escape. That week, I'm at this big party in this barn out in the woods. There's hundreds of people there. There's all kinds of just a big free-for-all. And I remember being there, and I started getting tempted. You know, the booze is fine. I start, you smell pot. That thing, it's like, oh, my gosh. And I remember being so tempted. And you know what? And here's what I did. I went like this. I was looking for that avenue of escape. See, and you know what I did? I just walked to my truck and I drove out and I left. And something, listen to me, something broke in my heart. Something broke in my life at that time. Do you understand? I shot heroin. I did every drug. I mean, it was the 70s. I mean, there was no DEA in the 70s. Nobody's worried about who's, I mean, nobody's getting busted in the 70s. And it was easy. It was easy pickings. Roger, it was easy. Man, the cops were predictable. Just stay away from them. But you know what? I never had to go to God and say, God, take this from me. God, I didn't. No, you know what happened? Listen, I got born again. I was a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I was born again. I was born of something different than I'd ever imagined. I could find God's promise in his word by asking him and looking for it. And let me tell you, I'm not much different now than I was then. I got ants in my pants, man. I'm not gonna sit there for 45 minutes flipping through a book to try to find something, okay? And I'm telling you, what's hard now is we have mobile devices and we can Google things and where we don't have to go and say, okay, God, where are you here? God, help me here. I never would have had that experience. God never would have made that mark in my heart if I'd have just been able to Google everything you put your hand to prospers. That's why right now I'm not even sharing the book or chapter or verse with you of where it is because you can Google it. And let me tell you, you want to be in that place that I was. I'll just be honest with you. Because when I gave my life to the Lord, literally, I want to say 2 weeks, but it won't be an exaggeration if I say 1 month. 1 month, 2 weeks before I went to Bible school, my doctrine was set. The doctrine I live by today, 36 years later. 2 weeks into it. I mean, you think about it. I don't know how long it would have been for you, Janelle, that 2 weeks into becoming a Christian, my doctrine was formed and set. I knew God loved me. I knew God had an immeasurable amount of forgiveness for me. I knew I was a new creation in Christ. I knew that. I knew that everything I put my hand to would prosper. I knew that my steps were ordered to the Lord. A month into it, I knew all that. What I live by today. I knew that God was the healer. I knew that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I knew that he went about doing good and healing all. I knew that. A month into it, I knew it. Man, it wasn't something where it's, see, we're thinking that it's a serendipitous little, no, that's not how God does it. We just have to be born again. That's how this works. See, I think too many people want to be saved and want to be delivered and don't think about being born again. Born not of the flesh, but of the spirit. That I'm born of God now. The same mind that was in Jesus because he was the Christ, when I'm born again, comes into me. That God gives me the measure of faith, all the faith that I need when I'm born again, when I'm born of him. I'm not born of a man. I'm not born of a woman. I'm born of God now. Man, Jesus came knowing that his dad wasn't Joseph. His dad was God. So they come to Jesus. They said, look, Jesus is doing what I'm doing right now. And they come to Jesus and they said, hey, your mother and your brothers need you. Jesus stopped them. He said, hey, Jesus didn't play. Jesus said, these are my mothers and these are my brothers. This is my family. I'm born of God now. We're creating a new family now. And see, what happens is, and why I want to impress upon you so much that this doctrine, it's because we can see the kingdom now. We can see God's way of doing things now. See, there's a way the world does it and there's a way God does it. And God's ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. See, we're thinking that somehow we're connecting the dots and it's all gonna work. And this isn't about us connecting dots. It's about us finding God. It's about us keeping God first in our lives. See, what I'm believing God for, all you guys in here, that in the next couple weeks, your doctrine's set. You hear God's voice and another voice you don't follow. See, this capital campaign, to me, it's about people, our people, hearing from God. Period. Because the life we live is so, because the life of the flesh is all perception. I'm telling you, it's so amazing to me that social media, it's all about selling perception. It's all about giving attention to the flesh. You know, I thought about this, and I think that it's pretty good timing, this message, because Easter's coming up within the next month. The new church in Sepulpa, our Barefoot Sunday in Easter, it's bam, bam, bam. And, you know, we could take a part of the operating capital and just immerse our communities and market the church in our communities and sell or create a perception for people. And I guess if people want to do that, I guess that's fine. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to wake up the sleeping, slumbering force that we are as a church and just say, hey, listen, what if you go to your family and your friends? What if the people within arm's reach of you, this far away from you, right here, what if those are the people that you're compelling, you compel them in? What if we do that? What if we start there? What if we are those people that, look, I'm living by faith in God's promises and everything I put my hand to will prosper. And no weapon formed against me ever will. And Jesus is always going to be faithful in my life. That God's always going to work things out. Always going to work things out. All things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose, things work out for us. All hell breaking loose, you get bad news, wait a second, I'm not born of the flesh anymore. I'm born of the Spirit now. I hear God's voice now. God leads and guides me in all truth. God, listen, becomes a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Man, I'm walking, it's like, God, I don't know what to do. Oh my goodness, there's that light, there's that lamp. The key is that we're progressing in God. The Dinah test for us spiritually is, what are you hungry for? Because I'll tell you where I was that first month as a Christian, first year, first 2 years, just me talking about it today, where I am now is I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for the things of God. I'm not hungry for stuff. I'm not hungry for food. I'm not hungry for drink. I'm hungry for God. See, that's when we go back to Romans 12, where we're not conformed to this world. We're not hungry for the things of the world. Our hunger and our thirst is after right standing, after eye level with God. See, that's how this works out. That's how our doctrine becomes set and becomes sure. That's when we know that we hear things well. God put that tumor on here to teach you. Now, God's love, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Good and bitter water can't come from the same well. That's not God. It's easy. Listen to me. I am the king of, if he can do it, anybody can do it. I'm proving that week in and week out, you could do this, but keep it simple. And let your call and election be sure. How? Because your doctrine's set. I'm not moving. Is God the healer? Does God tempt you with evil? Oh my goodness, we're getting it. Does every good and perfect gift come from God? Is God faithful? Is the devil the father of lies? Is he trying to deceive you right now? Does he bring distractions into your life to get you off course? Yeah. It's all simple. It truly is simple doctrine. It's simple faith. It's simple church. It's simple Christianity. Here's how Jesus oriented people into this life. Hey, come on, walk with me. No, come on, just walk with me. You wanna walk with me? Come on, let's go. Let's go, you want to? Come on then. No, and you might think, well, it's awkward. Wait, this is too simple. No, let me just tell you. If I'm Jesus, if he's walking with me, he's gonna become like me. He's going to start seeing things the way I see things. He's going to start saying things the way I say things. See, that's how this works. See, and it's not going to happen so much through a device. See, this is relational. What needs to happen is he needs to be around men who, while he's sitting there and he's eating or they're talking, or they're studying the word, where he's got to scratch his head and think, who are these guys? All hell's breaking loose, and look, there's peace here. Man, the next time he's on that boat that's about ready to be capsized because the winds and the storm and the waves, and he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him like, come on, Gib, but there's so much racket out there, he can't really make his point to Gib. So he goes like this, peace, be still. Everything stops. And now we've got this holy moment with Jesus, and all the guys with Gib are looking at each other going, who is this guy? Who are we with? What manner of man is this that even the wind, listen, obeys him? Now let's go back to Nicodemus. He says, you're trying to say you've got this figured out and you don't even know where the wind comes from. But here Jesus is where the wind obeys him. You see the connection? All you got to do is I just had to say, okay, I'm going to live by this. And you know what? I think a part of it, you've got to be a little ornery. I'm not kidding you. Part of it, you got to be a gamer a little bit. Man, your old friends, your family, people come to you and go, what, do you think you got it figured out? I do, because it's this simple. God's a good God, devil's a bad devil.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.